You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out at Grace Ranch for day five. Evening. Steve, will you lead us in prayer?
Well, praise God. We're going to start off with a song tonight. It says, "We declare that the kingdom of God is here among us." Now, if we listen to like the last 2 days, one of the messages has been how we've been losing that concept of, you know, do we love Jesus? Yes! Does he love us? I hope so. Right? But the fact of the matter is, no, walking in the faith of Christ, the truth is we know that his kingdom is here. And as we sing this song, I want you to be encouraged and sing it out in that faith of Christ. And the Lord will manifest himself. Amen.
All right, everybody, go ahead and stand up. This is a call and response song. So we are going to sing, and you are going to sing back, and we want to hear you. Amen.
Thank you. It's to read Romans 8. Been talking a lot the last few days about how the love Jesus has for us. And walking in the Spirit of God and not the flesh. Sometimes, not walking in the flesh is as simple as changing your mind. Instead of agreeing with what the flesh wants you to do, you fight that. You put on the mind of Christ. You fight against it. You turn from it. Put your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Romans 8 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That means we don't have to be held back by our flesh. We don't have to be controlled by our flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, or Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. You know, the carnal mind is enmity with God. And it's not subject unto the law of God. And it never can be. Just like this flesh. It'll never agree with God. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so, be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon not that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, and not willing, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. When we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I think it was just yesterday. Scott asked, do you love Jesus? Or no, what was it? What was it? Do you love Jesus? And everybody yelled, answered amen. Say amen if you love Jesus. And then he asks, say amen if Jesus loves me. Says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Jesus loves us. Amen. We have to know that.
Well, good evening, everybody. We have received a lot of good word this week so far. I expect more of it. I've had my clock cleaned, and I needed it. I had stopped walking in the faith of Jesus Christ, as Galatians 2:16 talks about, and started walking my own way in my own faith. And the end of that's ugly, because we had talked about, Philip this morning talked about, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When I'm working on my faith, I impute evil motives and intentions onto other people and onto God. And that's no good, not profitable, and in error of every sort. And the limitations on my faith are not the same limitations. Maybe that's not the right way of explaining that. My faith, will figure out a justification for everything I want to do. It is a self-justifying faith. It's a works righteousness faith. It's very comfortable with that, which you can weigh and measure. And although I had no interest in living by the letter of the law, I really had no other choice in that place. So at that point, the best you can do is, he said, on balance, in the end, you know, I did more to the good side than I did to the bad side. That's not the way it works. Find out on that last day, that's not how that works. There's nothing I can say or do to justify myself before the Lord. But I was looking at Galatians 2:16, and I seem to remember another place. So I'm going to look, I'm going to go there. Romans 3:20 says the second part of 2:16. It says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Galatians 2:16, not the only place that uses that kind of interesting of Christ wording that we just read past. So I know I did anyway. I'll speak for myself. I read past, inserting my own article or preposition. I inserted in Christ. I forget exactly what sort of a form that is. In is not an ad, but a nor for, so not a preposition, but it's something. And it seemed like it flowed there, right? But that's not what the word says. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Just read that in Romans. But this concept, when you walk in Jesus Christ, in the faith of Jesus Christ, then you are connected the partaking of all that is Jesus Christ. You're connected to his power and his most importantly, you're connected to his victory. And I don't know about everybody else, but I want to partake of his victory. There's another verse in 2 Corinthians that uses it not about faith, but it does. It's a familiar passage. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, not to the obedience in Christ or to Christ. It's to Christ's obedience. He was obedient. And how was he obedient? To the Father? To the end, to the cross. And then, praise God for us, God raised him from the dead. That's what the faith of Christ gives you. It gives you something you can operate with today, here and now, and it gives you an eternal reward. And I don't want to stay hamstrung by the limitations of my faith. My faith is absolutely worthless. I thank you for the opportunity to come up here. That's really all I have.
Give the Lord a cheer. Praise God. Forgive me while I chuckle to myself. I might even share with you why. Brother Richard, years ago, Scott will remember this, and Rick, you'll remember it, and some of the others. We had a revival, and the revival is about three things. Take God seriously. Don't take yourself seriously. And believe his word. Remember that? Now, I share that with you because we are so often disappointed in ourselves when God's not disappointed in us. I mean, think of your children. I mean, are your children perfect? Good thing. I thought mine were the only one. I'm glad there are a few others whose children do not seem to be perfect. Do you love your children? See, God knows that we are not perfect. I mean, he made us that way. One of us was reading the scripture here earlier. Who was it? It might have been Carrie, where it said, the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. I didn't like when I was in my mother's womb go, oh, please, God, please make me a miserable, wretched sinner. I just pray, God, please, I want to be a wretched sinner. No, I was born, and there it just came naturally. And you know who knew that? He knew that. And see, we lose sight of why that is. See, we get all hung up on it. We lose sight of why are we miserable, wretched sinners? Well, yes, I mean, we owe it to our father, Adam. But you know what? God really set Adam up in many ways. When he was a special creation, he stood for all men. And if Adam, being perfect and having perfect knowledge, would fall, he knew we'd all fall. And you know why he knew Adam would fall? Because there was another person who had fallen previously. You know who that was? Lucifer. And the day that Lucifer was created, he was created perfect. And you go over and read in Ezekiel 28, and you read about his perfection. He was extraordinary. I mean, he had everything. I mean, he was, as Davy likes to say, a Hammond. He had pipes like a, what is it, Davy?
Walking pipe organ.
A walking pipe organ. He was beautiful. He was full of wisdom. He sealest up the sum. And he had all of this from whom? God. And there was no sin anywhere. And Lucifer rebelled. So God knew Adam would fall one day or another. He doesn't tell us how many it was. He knew he would fall. But he already had a plan when he had Adam fall for Adam's redemption. And you see it right there in the garden. I mean, he doesn't go, I can't believe you did this, you stupid idiot. Right? What's he do? He prophesies and tells them about how the seed of the woman, which was Jesus, was going to come. And he was going to stomp on Satan, the serpent who had beguiled Eve, and then Eve got Adam, like women are very good to do. Like, this is what I was talking about earlier today, right, Angie? I was telling my son to not, how did I describe it? What was the word I used? Do you remember? Let not women control you. That's what I told him. I said, son, don't let women control you. Of course, the only other people there beside my son were Angie and Hope. Right? But the fact of the matter is that, I mean, men do that all the time. It's easier. It's easier than serving God. It's easier than serving the one whom you cannot see. And so we fail, and so Adam failed. And look, I'm not blaming Eve. God didn't even, when Eve did it, nothing happened, right? God didn't, I mean, when Adam, he formed Adam and he told him to eat, he could eat of all the trees of the garden, he told him, except for one. He didn't tell Eve that. So when Eve ate, nothing happened. God didn't say that to Eve. He said it to Adam. And Adam fell. Right? And look, we've got children. Like, look, hey, don't touch that. It's just like a magnet then, isn't it? Isn't that how we are? It's like a magnet. Don't touch that. You know, I mean, they just, as close as they can, stumbling around, hoping to some way maybe fall over and touch it by accident. It was an accident, Dad. Right? That's how we are. All right? And so the Lord knows how we are. And the reason why he set it up this way is because it's not about this life. It's not about this life. It's about eternity and perfect peace in heaven with him. See, and if you're going to be prepared to stand in eternity in perfect peace in heaven with him, then in order to be prepared for that, you're going to have to be tried. You're going to have to be proven. Where is your heart at? Where's your heart at? If your heart is for God, if your heart is for the things of God, praise God, you're going to make it. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Knock and it shall be opened unto you, right? And if you're not, you're not. And it was interesting, in one of the verses that Carrie read over here, she was talking about how, you know, not persecution or famine or nakedness or any of these things are going to separate you from the love of God. I'm thinking, I certainly don't want any of those. Do any of you guys want any of those? I'm thinking to myself, those are exactly the things that make me think that I'm separated from the love of God, right? Where are you, Lord? Why is this happening to me? If you were really there, this wouldn't be happening. Well, wait a second. We got a whole book of people who it happened to, who it didn't, they didn't deserve it. And we got a Savior who it all happened to, and he didn't deserve it, right? But the thing is that in order to stand in that place, we have to believe him, right? We have to believe him. We don't have to do anything else. It's amazing. When you believe God, and you figure, you know, most of our struggles, Paul, I mean, most of our struggles is that we're in unbelief. We're in unbelief, and we're trying to justify our unbelief and find fault with God. We might, instead of saying God, because that just seems like we might get smitten, you know, immediately by a bolt of lightning or something. Instead, we, blame everybody around us. Well, nobody else is doing it. Nobody else is doing it. It's those people you gave me, Lord. You know, we go and we spread it around to all these other people. It has nothing to do with any of that. And what happens is when you come down to the place and you realize that the problem is me, and it's not a single other human being on the face of the planet, and I can't blame anybody, and you get down and you say, you know what? Lord, I apologize. I apologize. And you choose to yet again believe, it's amazing. It's like liftoff. You take off, and all of a sudden, all the things that you had been subject to and all the crap and all the stuff that you hated, it goes away. It just like vanishes away. It may not happen the instant that you believe, but that hope that is born in you changes everything. And when you experience the actual fruition of that hope that was born in you, it's awesome. It's awesome. And you can't help but leap up and praise God and thank him. Amen. Well, this body, which was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the same one who subjected it in hope. Right? See, that hope, the fullness of that hope that we are going to get is when we receive the redemption of our bodies. We receive that new eternal body that is perfect like Lucifer's was. I mean, after all, I mean, you guys have heard, I believe you've heard, and if you haven't heard, you know, you read a bunch of verses here today where it's talking about the manifestation of the sons of God. And it was reading about how the joint heirs, were you reading about joint heirs, or is that in the verses that Paul was over there on in Romans? I'll have to go back and look. But it talks about how we are joint heirs with Christ, and whereby the Spirit in us crieth, Abba, Father. Right? Abba, Father is Daddy, Daddy. Right? Daddy, Daddy. Now, look, our children, whether they're good or bad, how do they refer to their fathers? Dad. Dad. They never question the fact that their dad is their dad and he loves them. Why do we then question that our Heavenly Father, our dad, doesn't love us? Now, it was interesting. I mean, to me, if you want to look at, if there's something you want to tether yourself to and wrap yourself around in this week's things, it was something that Brother Davey preached on out of Galatians 2:16, which Paul was referring to. It's funny, once you start reading that, you see it everywhere. I mean, actually, if you go through in Romans 3, you didn't read down far enough, I don't think, Paul, but I think he started on verse 20. It says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Right, so when we look at the law, we realize we're freaking jerks. You didn't get there. That's all right. I'll read it down. So he goes on, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." In other words, this is what it's always been about. If you look through the scripture, you can see it. So let's go, but let's go to 22, because this is just like Galatians 2:16. I'll show it to you another place. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ." The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Look at that. All them that believe. "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now watch, I'm going to read on a little farther. "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." See, our job is to believe the word. Now, one of the things that, and Carrie began to talk about this when you're reading Romans 8, you were talking about how it's as easy as changing our mind. And you read about how the carnal mind is at enmity with God, and neither indeed can be subject to the law of God, which is not the law of Moses, it's the law of the gospel of faith, the faith of Christ Jesus, and believing in the sufficiency of his sacrifice and his faith to get it done for us. So the carnal mind cannot do that. But of course, our entire life, we were born, and you know what? Our carnal mind started working. It was like wound up, and it keeps learning more. And you know, as it learns more, you know what it does? It gets puffed up. I mean, just look at little children. I mean, they learn something, and they think they know it all of a sudden. You ever notice that about them? I mean, now they're telling you how to do everything. I mean, they're only 6 years old. Like, wow, boy, was I just, I guess I was just waiting for you to come so I could gain wisdom and knowledge, right? But to listen to little children, that's how it is, and that's because the carnal mind is addicted to pride, and it's very puffed up. Every time it thinks it learns something, it thinks it's the only one who knows it and thinks it's awesome. We learned a little bit about a guy who had that problem last night. We won't say who that was. That guy, yeah. But see, let me show you. You know, we know where to put off the old man, right, and put on the new. And we struggle with this, and we seem to, you know, put that sucker down, and he seems to rear up his ugly head and win again, and we get frustrated and the like. I want to show you just really how simple it is to put off the old man and put on the new. And when we read this word, and we hear this word, and we believe this word, then anything that's contrary to that word, what do? We reject it with what? With our mind. With our mind. Right? With our mind. That's why it says take every thought captive. Right? It says take every thought captive. We have all sorts of stupid thoughts. And in fact, if you hang out or two or more are gathered together, you have an even greater abundance of stupid thoughts. Because when we're all by ourselves, it's amazing. We kind of run out and we get tired and exhausted of our stupid thoughts. But when we have somebody to bounce them off of, man, we could just keep going. You get Robin and I, Wind us up, man. It's like the ever-ready battery. You know, we just keep going with things like that. That's how we are, right? And we don't even realize it. We don't even realize it. Right? And we believe these things that are contrary to the Word of God. And when somebody brings up that something that we say is contrary to the Word of God, what do? Yeah, we get mad at them and we whine and cry and we have a pity party. Why? Because we're not being justified in our own stupidity. Isn't that how it is? And all you have to do, you know, you want to eliminate a really important word in your vocabulary. And Bob, I mean, I think, you know, just like Rob and I can be the energizer buddy. If you hang out with Bob enough, you're going to hear this word over and over and over again. But we all do it. That word is, but. You ever heard the word but come out of Bob's mouth? How about out of your mouth? Somebody says something to you.
Describes goats.
It describes goats, that's right. And what it is somebody says, hey, why don't you do it this way? I would, but I'd really like to, but, right? See, all we have to do is decide to agree with Jesus. It's all we have to do. See, and then when you study the Word, and we read the Word, what's it say over in Peter? 2 Peter talks about grace and peace be multiplied unto you according to knowledge, right? Knowledge of the Son of God. And the knowledge it's speaking of is a true and accurate and precise and correct knowledge. In other words, you know him as he is. All right, you know him as he is. Davey, many of you have heard Davey talk about how when you're trying to teach somebody about counterfeit money, like if you work for the Secret Service and you're doing that, what do you study? They don't ever show you a single counterfeit. The people who are expert on recognizing counterfeits are never shown a single counterfeit. You know why? I mean, there's so many ways to make counterfeits, but there's only one way to make it right. And if you learn every single thing about what it is when it's made right, then it's easy to pick up the counterfeit. See, the reason why we have Bible studies, the reason why God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come together in the unity of the knowledge, right? What's that? The unity of the faith under the... I'll read it. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. All right, Rick, hand me over there. Now I'm all screwed up on it. I don't want to be screwed up on it. I'm going to say it right. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith... And that faith, that is the faith of Christ, mind you, folks. That's not our faith. When we all come to walk and stand and trust in his faith is what that's referring to. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Jesus is not a schizophrenic. Jesus does not need a counselor to come and tell him about how his daddy treated him wrong by sending him to the cross and all the other things. No, Jesus... The knowledge of the Son of God is there is only one Son of God. His name is Jesus. Right? And till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, the point I wanted to get to over here is that, see, that knowledge of the Son of God, who he is as he actually is, as opposed to people talking about him who do not know him. See, he reveals himself unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit that they may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he has sent, so that they can then declare him unto us. And as we receive that testimony, as we receive that testimony, we're like the person who has studied how to recognize counterfeits by knowing everything there is about the truth. And so then it's easy. And so when the thoughts come to you that are contrary to the Word of God, we just put them off. Of course, our flesh doesn't like it, and everybody who wants to be justified in their own thoughts don't like it. Why? Because they're vain and they're stupid. But it's really that simple. It's not a big complicated mess. Right? And those thoughts come from your flesh. They come from other people's flesh. And they come from seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils that justify people in believing them. Right? That's where they come from. So look, this isn't rocket science, folks. You don't have to be a brainiac to figure this stuff out and be able to do it. As I was talking with Joan today, no, I was talking with Lisa today, is who it was. It was when I was talking with Lisa. We were talking, and if you'd known me beforehand and my life before I became a Christian, I kind of lived life on fast forward. I had been from preschool up, essentially, I put the word burdened with the idea that it was my individual responsibility to find the way out for mankind that had not been able to be found out for thousands of years, obviously, because all of human history was horrible. And it was something that it's hard to imagine unless you've ever experienced it. I don't know how many people have experienced it. And the only person I know who's experienced it is me. And I've experienced it very intimately. And if you had been around me, I did all kinds of crazy, unbelievably stupid things. And I believe, and it was interesting talking with Lisa, I believe the reason why the Lord saved me through all of that was because I was sincere. You know what I mean? I mean, I wanted to find the way out. When I found that it was Jesus and the simplicity of the gospel, oh my God, it was so much more fair than what everybody had piled on me. I mean, I don't know how to say it. I mean, the gospel is so simple. And God's ways are so simple. I mean, it all comes down to two things. Love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. And it's amazing. I mean, I'm a lawyer and I have two, you know, I have books, a Connex full of books. Connex and a half maybe full of books. I don't know. I mean, I got a lot of books up there. And if you ever go to a law library and start looking through it, I mean, if you read all the law books that just relate to you, if you took Evelyn Wood's speed reading when you were in the womb and you came out and you read from then all the way to the end, you couldn't finish them all. I mean, just impossible. It's impossible. And yet with all those laws, they can't come to the answer, which is so simple, which brings perfect peace. And it brings the love that we desperately need, which is love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. It's the only two rules on which, if you follow, it's impossible for there to be conflict. I mean, it's literally impossible. You cannot have any conflict. And so we go through and we make it about all these other things. And people out there who will lord themselves over you. And I say that. See, when you look at Paul was an interesting guy. Paul was better educated than all of his opponents. He was more zealous of the law than them all combined. I mean, he was a zealot of zealots. And he was a student of students. And in every way. And so he watched, he'd go out, and what did he preach? He determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He preaches the simplest message there is in the entire universe. Simple, simple, simple. And then as soon as he leaves, what happens? all the educated folks come in and try and tell them that, no, it's not that simple. You got to do this, or you got to do that, or you got to do the other thing, or you got to add these things. And what happened is, to Paul, what all those people said, that didn't move him at all. He already knew all the stupidity of that. He had rejected it. But to people who have been raised in a place in which they were always intimidated by such folks, so easily give in and accept things from people like this that they shouldn't. So easily. Whether it be somebody talking on the news or some economist or some movie, I don't care who it is. People get intimidated and they think, well, and because of your own insecurity, you give place to this kind of stupidity. That's why all of Paul's letters is, knock it off. It's not about that. I mean, every single one of his letters, to every place, except for the Thessalonians, because they got it. But every other place, it's knock it off. Don't let them believe these things. Don't believe these things. Don't believe these people. Don't believe them. It's not true. And I can relate to Paul in some ways that way, not because I was the smartest guy or whatever, but I did live fast forward, and all the things that those people went through, I did too. And to me, they were jerks. I never liked them. I for whatever reason, the Lord put in my heart, and I, or what have you, I just never embraced the society that I was prepared for to walk in. And that was a saving grace as well to me, which I'm thankful. But the one thing is I just know that they're full of utter contemptible BS, and it's worse than BS. It's poison. It's poison. When you go forth from this place, I don't want you to lose the simplicity. Put your trust in Jesus and the sufficiency of his faith for your salvation. Jesus said, you know, remember the rich guy and the rich young ruler, and he comes up, what must I do to be saved? And he says the things, and he goes away sorrowful. And he turns to his disciples and he says, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And his disciples are like, you know, they're knocked back. Like, well, who then can be saved? Was their response. Because, I mean, I don't know about you. I'm sure Peter was thinking, I can't make it freaking through an eye of a needle. And I never saw a camel that could either. I mean, what you just described is something that is impossible. And Jesus says, you're right. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. See, with God, all things are possible. Every time your carnal mind says, how is this going to, how can this be fixed? He fixes everything. There is not a thing he cannot fix. There is not a situation you can find yourself in that is too big for him. I mean, absolutely, there's nothing. Nothing. I mean, not even close. He's not like, oh, this one's really hard. What do I do? I mean, there is nothing that is too big for him. And there is no nonsense out here in the world that you should listen to. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. Cast off everything else. If you got to put, you know, blinders on your eyes and cover your ears so that you don't see nor hear the evil, do so. Whatever you got to do, just determine you will no longer give it any place, because it's robbing you. It's destroying you. And it's been doing it for far too long. It's time for it to end. This week, folks, this week, we've been given an unbelievable gift and key. I'm not saved by my own faith. Wow. Look, Davey said it before, don't get me wrong. But as far as it crystallizing in me, and I've even walked in it in different ways, don't get me wrong, ignorantly and unbeknownst to me, I walked in it. I mean, when I'd get down and pray, Lord, take the reins of my heart and drive me to the accomplishment of my day, well, that's actually an act of putting my faith in God and not in me. Amen. Praise God. And he honored it and has moved mightily. I mean, and when I pray in tongues and ask him to search the hearts of the people I'm coming into contact with and to give me the interpretation, I've seen him do it over and over and over again. I've done many, many, many things in which I have stood by faith in Christ Jesus I mean, by his faith and in his ability rather than my own. But there's so much other stuff in which I've just beat myself up over, and kind of like the Catholics, you know, putting on the hair shirt and doing all the other nonsense and stupidity because I just felt so bad and felt like I couldn't, and no matter what, it just didn't seem to be there. And at least for me, I got the answer. Yeah, dummy, your faith is corrupt. It ain't going to get you there. You aren't saved by your faith. Whew. I mean, I'll tell you what. I mean, you guys say I have a strong will. I mean, you're hard-pressed to find somebody who would fight to be saved by his own faith more than me. Truth is, it's the truth. And I tried hard, and it didn't work. It is a great relief to know that I'm not saved by my faith. It is a great relief. I mean, it is a hallelujah party, dance in the dark, and I don't care what you think of me kind of party. I'm grateful that I'm saved by his faith. All right? Now let's just start believing his word. Let's not take ourselves so seriously. I sang off key. I hit the wrong thing. I did this. So what? I'm just imagining at the piano recital of the children. Ding, 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 boom. All the parents, the air goes out of the room. The parents, oh, the horror, the horror. Oh, what do we do now? Turn out the lights. It's all over. Is that what happened? You ever been to one of those things? I mean, they're applauding, and I'm thinking to myself, did they just hear what I heard? I mean, get over it, all right? Get over it. Daddy loves us. He loves us. So let's go forward just relaxing and enjoying his love, and let's leave the faith part to him, all right? And let's just choose to believe him for it. Amen.
You are my hiding place. see. How about a little something upbeat?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we'll see you guys tomorrow morning. And in the meantime, we have some opportunity to fellowship. And for those who are listening online, tune in tomorrow. May the Lord bless you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.